Record on this computer. It's working. I can record.
Okay. Then I beg Bill Cover.
Present.
Jeff Jones.
Present.
Bob McGinnis.
Here.
Andy Rich.
Here.
Sharon Tobias.
Here.
Absent is Dan Crosby and Paul Penny. On the board, also present, Andrew Ramos, Dave Hicks, Kathy Powell, Tyler Mayo, Lee Schmeeds.
Dave, you want to make your introduction?
Yep. Just want to welcome Tyler Mayo to our meeting. He will take over as manager when I retire in June. Tyler's been with the company for 8 years. His demeanor and excellent work ethic and intelligence, along with his knowledge of our system, makes me extremely confident that he can best fill the role of general manager. So say hi. Yeah.
Oh.
Congratulations, Tyler.
Thanks, Andy.
Andy, thank you once again for the effort you put into the screening and the hiring process. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Item next, is there any, do we have any public any public visitors? Do we have any public? Do we have anything? I'm hearing none. Item next is the consent calendar, items 1A, 1B, 1C, and 1D. Is there anyone on the board that wants any one of those items pulled off for discussion? If not, I'll take a motion to accept the consent calendar.
I so move.
I'll second it.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed, say nay. Thank you. Item 2A, Tom Schneider.
All right. For long-range planning committee status, I believe that's on page 17. We go to the first page there, just showing the final cost breakdown of how the USDA contract panned out. You see there, Mazingo, $9,049,852. So they were about 74%. Of the total contract. MC Engineering, the 2240, represented about 18%. I think at the beginning of the contract, they were estimating engineering would be, you know, 5 to 8% or something like that. Can you remember, Sharon?
When they did their estimates, it was always 8% for construction management.
Right.
So this also included engineering. So I don't know.
Right. And with all the added scope requested by Blue Lake Springs, you can understand why it would go up some. But it ended up being about 18%. Co-bank interest, the almost $375,000. I just looked back this morning at what we initially projected the interest to be. At the beginning, the contract, the construction contract was going to be 18 months. And we estimated $457,000 for interest. That was based on higher interest rates and the fact that it didn't take into account that we were going to finance a lot of the project out of our operating budget for several months. So it ended up being 27 months at $375,000. About an $83,000 savings over time. And again, the interest rates went down considerably, and we funded over several months about $2.5 million of the project for engineering, parts, and interest. So that turned out to be very beneficial. Blue Lake Springs parts purchase, you see there, we were able to claim about $561,000 of the $603,000 that we had spent on parts. which brought us up to the total allocation for the USDA contract. Next page. A little bit on the closing information. The final closing date was January 20th. The last estimate that we had at our prior board meeting was the 15th of January. So in the last couple of weeks, it got pushed out another 5 days. Co-bank interest at close was $18,055, the final payment. As you can see there, based on information from Lee, they deducted $18,665 from our bank, but they refunded the interest difference of the $609,000 roughly. Wells Fargo office mortgage was paid off. That payoff was $126,745. At close, they deducted $135.91, so Wells Fargo issued us a check for the difference. We received a total of $1,921,459 reimbursement at close. The last estimate that I presented was $1,933,321. Instead of saying an increase due, I should have said a reduction. The reduction in our reimbursement was due to the extra 5 days to close. And, in the final weeks there, we really didn't have any communication from, the title company or MCE or USDA on what the closing costs would be. And, so without that, didn't really know how much it would amount to, but you can see there the things that got included in the closing costs.
Sorry, I missed that. Could you say it again, please?
Is that a question to me?
No,
no clue. Well,
that was my phone talking. Sorry.
Oh.
I'm not sure I'm hearing you.
All right,
sorry.
Quiet.
So you can see there $13,000 or so of fees got applied. I realized there should be and expected some closing costs, but I didn't realize that they would be that much. But anyway, those were reasons why the amount came out a bit less than what we last estimated. Next page. The distribution of the reimbursement, as I mentioned, $1,921,459. I think Lee sent out a lot of this information in her notes, but a major distribution of that went to the low-risk J.P. Morgan corporate account at Edward Jones. It's been labeled a restricted reserves fund. That basically is our reserves fund policy that we approved several months ago or over a year ago. That was the breakdown in the reserves fund policy that added up to the $802,000. The last item there, the debt reserve, we've already funded in full. That's $43,721 for 10 years. So we've already... Last year, we fully funded that. The required amount is now was $427,555, and we've already more than funded that amount. So that's good. We're ahead of the game. A distribution that was made to the savings account at Edward Jones was $546,000. That's labeled a capital asset reserve fund. We're estimating the interest that we can earn from the $801,000 is about, what was it, Lee, $13,000 or so of interest this year, depending on how it all unfolds throughout the year.
And I think we put there. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. And that savings account at least will provide a better interest rate than we would get at the bank. And then the remainder was a distribution made to our operating account of $573,738. Next page. As you know, over the last several months, we've been identifying some of the USDA tasks and other potential expenses that will possibly be funded from our reimbursements and our reserves. I'm just listing those. What I want to do is make sure, Dave and Tyler, that we constantly communicate on these and any updates, you know, we talk through and talk through, you know, what the consequences are with the long range planning committee and then bring them forward to the board for approval.
Absolutely.
So nothing's really changed on those, although what I'll mention is the MCE final GIS mapping data. We had estimated 10,000. The next chart will go into a proposal we received from them that was agreed to as a fixed price contract at 12.2. It increased, it came in a little higher than the 10K, but we also, Dave and his staff added four extra maps to that. So that's already going forward. As I mentioned earlier, the office mortgage was already paid off. But the rest of them are potential costs that we can incur, but will be brought forward to the board before we move forward on them. Next page. So the GIS mapping proposal was received on February 23rd. You can see there the intent is to complete the mapping and GIS database of our system to support ongoing planning and future operations of our distribution system. A portion of it is for project management. Task two there is GIS mapping and data consolidation. So it includes updating the existing GIS database to include all the new construction. You can see there it includes meetings with the Blue Lake Springs staff and participation from the staff in marking up and verifying existing maps. The last task is to prepare a GIS-based index map book. And you can see there what it includes. And as I mentioned in the note, the final agreed to was a fixed price contract of 12.2. It included the four extra maps that were requested. Any questions?
Any questions or comments from the board? Except nice work as always.
Yeah. Going forward, the emphasis will be to continue to go back and go through all the analysis that we've done on the asset management plan and work through the different options there and have discussions with the long-range planning committee on those and bring back those options to the board for discussion on what the future holds as far as trying to put together a long-term plan for that.
Any questions from the board? Tom, thank you very much.
Well,
yeah, I would just add that Tom has done a tremendous job with the planning and tracking and data analysis, and we owe him a huge thanks for all the work that he's done.
Amen.
My pleasure.
Plus he enjoys it.
Gives me something to do when I wake up before Denise, you know, each morning.
Any questions at all of long-range planning? Item next is 2B, blending water, Dave Hicks.
Okay, Tyler's got a little something to say about that, so I'm going to have him talk about it.
Okay. Hello. Yeah, we reached out to Guy Shaw at the California Resource Control Board, who gave us some recommendations for blending and treating our water, as well as he gave us a few contacts for analyzing our two different waters and finding out the outcome of the blending. We sent over the data to Shannon Chemicals, and we're now awaiting the results from Shannon Chemicals to find out what our next steps will be to making our water blending well and not having any issues.
Now, do we plan to blend the entire system, or is it just one well that we're doing it in?
It'd be well 3, well 4, and then be blending CCWD water into the well water. So it'd be, and it all just depends on if we're running the pump station, if we're blending a little bit of CCWD water into our well water, or vice versa. If we're blending over to tank 4, it'd be a little bit of our well water into CCWD water. Just kind of depends on the situation, power outages, things of that.
Okay, so this would not be an everyday practice?
No.
Okay. And blending the waters together need the blessing of the state?
No, it's more for our analysis on the water, just to know that we're giving the community good water, that we're not giving them corrosive or high scale forming water.
Makes sense.
What happened with that woman's complaint about the what she perceived as the quality of her water?
Yeah. Are you referring to the lady, the one with the dishes, or?
Well, I'm trying to remember the specific details. I just remember that there had been a complaint that I think was posted on Nextdoor.com.
Yeah, she's referring to the scaling of the water. That, you know, we have a little hard water, and she had a white residue, I'm guessing, in her glasses.
And did we get back to her?
Yes, we let her know to do a couple different things at her house, but we are working on the scaling of the water, working on getting rid of that. I'm sure most of you noticed maybe even some white residue on your fixtures at home, your faucet taps.
Could you explain briefly how that occurs?
That just occurs by hard water. It's just calcium in the water. So,
it's not how we treat the water. It's the way the water comes to us.
Correct, but we can treat it to hopefully have less scaling, but if we do too much, it becomes corrosive, which can be harmful in a different way. We don't want to have corrosive water and eating away our pipes and our mains and system.
Got it. Any other questions or comments from the board?
Well, is the scaling, is it just the well water? So like the back part of this, or is it the whole development is getting the well water?
Well, the reason to find out about the scaling is just because we're going to be blending the two waters. We want to know that our slightly hard water and CCWD's water that's either neutral or could be slightly corrosive, mixing them together is going to work out.
Okay.
If it does not work out, what is the downside?
The downside is we would have to change the way we treat the water possibly on our end to help mitigate what's going on coming from CCWD's end, because I don't believe we'll be able to ask them to treat their water differently.
Okay. Any other questions or comments from the board?
So, strategically, is it our plan to blend the two waters for our entire community, or for just that part of the community that we currently get CCWD water from?
Well, it would be either side of the community. Say, just in the past storm we had to run the pump station, and we're pumping CCWD water into tank 6, which is full of well water. We want to know that what we're putting in there and mixing together is good water. We want to know the analysis on it.
Okay.
So I think we want to know, one question is, when you blend, is it before or after your chemical treatments?
It's after.
And they use a different system than we do, right, for chemical treatment?
Correct.
So the question is, are those two treatments compatible?
Correct.
All right. And that's why you sent it to the lab?
Yes.
All right. Good. So there's not really a economic system to reduce the hardness of the water, is there, on a large scale? I mean, if we had to do that, it seems like we would want to do it at each household, but I'm not sure if you can do that on a large scale, can you? Because you'd have to remove all the calcium and magnesium, manganese and all those good things.
Yeah, and that's why we're working with the man from Shannon Chemicals and Guy Shaw, just letting us know what our options are.
But you don't have a precipitate at the bottom of the tank, do you?
No.
Okay, so it's not that hard. Okay.
No, it's very slight. It's very slight on the scale forming when you look at it, like, say, in the Langmuir index.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to put in our reverse osmosis or anything like that. So.
No, we're talking very minor changes.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not getting precipitation in the tank, I think we should be all right. I mean, because you're always refilling the tank. And yeah,
definitely we should be okay. I just feel that it's something we need to check on to make sure that we're giving quality water.
No, that's thinking. Good thinking.
Any other questions or comments? Item next is unfinished business, 3A. Dave?
You guys in the packet, you see our COVID policy. Andrew worked hard on it, and we put in our comments. I'm just going to ask you guys if you have any questions on it. I think it's pretty clear and concise, and it satisfies the requirements.
Any questions or comments for the board?
Have any of our employees tested positive over the course of the last year?
No.
Oh, that's good.
Have any gotten vaccines? Because they're all eligible, right?
Bill got one. He got his first one 2 days ago, I think. I got my first shot.
And we encourage others to get theirs, do we not?
Yes.
Okay. We want to stay on top of that. Andrew, do you have anything to add to this? This is a pretty much of a standard, I don't want to call it boilerplate, but boilerplate COVID-19 approach. And a couple of things that, Lee, could you advance the page up a little bit? As far as reporting, we want to be clear that if an employee comes down with COVID or feels they've been exposed, they have an obligation to report that to us, correct?
That's right. They're required to report directly to the general manager.
Right. And this is the HIPAA law aside. This is an exception to the HIPAA law, as I understand.
That's correct. It works in conjunction with all of the medical privacy laws. So if an employee comes down with COVID or has symptoms of COVID, they're required to report to the general manager. The general manager will then be in charge of deciding whether there's notification required to other employees. And that notification is confidential. So the general manager won't be saying, employee X has tested positive for COVID. The general manager will be notifying those employees. We have had an exposure in the workplace. We believe you might have been exposed. You probably need to go get tested, and you're going to be staying home for a couple days while you're awaiting your test results. So the employee's medical privacy is respected, but at the same time, we're making sure that everybody has access to the information they need to know whether they've been exposed.
And while we can say we'd like you to get tested, we can require it, can we not?
If we have It depends. You can exclude them during the time when they might have been exposed, certainly. So you can require them to stay home, but the test is the thing that gets you back to work.
Got it.
Well, a lot of companies in the Bay Area are requiring periodic testing if people have to go into the office or the laboratories.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure if we're considered a lab or not. I guess since we treat water, those people that go in that area we could require them to get tested.
Yeah.
I think.
And that's not part of this policy, but it's something that
the company
should consider.
Yeah. Anyway, I've seen people do it a lot of different ways. Yeah, but I think if somebody does test positive, we would just test everybody because we only have how many employees we're talking about? Eight. So it's not like we have 800, you know. So.
But the requirements are the same.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, if we have an exposure in the workplace, it common sense would dictate we would have all employees tested.
Correct.
This would require that. And it would require them to tell us the results as well.
And the water
that's a legal question. Yeah.
The water company can certainly provide the testing and require
right
of a negative result before you come back to work.
Got it.
Well, I think we've been lucky. Yeah.
What is our pay policy while someone is waiting at home for their test results?
That's in the policy and it's required by law. So employees who have a potential exposure who are awaiting their results have a certain amount of paid time that's provided by law. And part of that is encouraging employees to be serious about this and not to show up to work sick or after a potential exposure. So it's a relatively significant change in pay law that's really just specific to COVID.
Well, yeah.
My understanding is we cannot require employees to get vaccinated. Is that correct?
Andy, at this time, the answer is unclear. Depends on which lawyer you ask.
It depends on the job description, because I know in my industry, when the hepatitis B and A vaccines came out, we were required to get those vaccines to work.
That's right.
So in some situations, this one, it's all the vaccines are under emergency use. They're not really approved by the FDA. They're just approved, you know, under emergency declaration. So I'm not sure if you can force somebody to get a vaccine under emergency,
and
because it's not really approved. I mean, legally, it's not an approved.
That's exactly right. You're on top of this. So
I was in the vaccine business for a while. I mean, a scientist for a long time. So I worked on the first SARS-1 vaccine, and the technology I worked on was the first generation, and the RNA vaccines, like the third or fourth generation of technology that appears to work right now. But I was in the early days on these.
And that's exactly the analysis right now. So, Andy, there are certain jobs where you can require employees to get vaccinated. Medical care workers are required certainly to get certain vaccines. The problem at this point is that the COVID vaccine is under an emergency exemption. And so it's not clear that the law provides that an employer can require an employee as a condition of employment to get that vaccine. There may be a change in the law in the near future.
Yeah, they went through this with the anthrax vaccine, during that scare. But the military would take the anthrax vaccine, but it was never before it was ever approved by the FDA. But I'm not. So there's no safety data like the base is like there is with the diphtheria a DPT vaccine or measles, mumps, rubella. You don't have that information base. So anyway, I just think if we have such small numbers of people that we would just encourage them to get vaccinated. But anyway.
And at least at this point, given the state of the law, that's the best that you can do. The water company can encourage all employees to get vaccinated as soon as they're able, give them time off work to go get vaccinated, that sort of thing.
Well, I think anyone working for the water companies eligible.
Yes.
Right.
It just happened. In fact, it only a couple of days ago, our county health officer agreed to include water workers under the designation of ag.
Mm-hmm.
Ag and food workers. So we got it in to people under 65.
I think that's great. It just said it's available to everybody who works for the water company. So.
Well, we're delivering a service that mm-hmm. involves public health. You would think that we'd be an umbrella to. In fact, I wonder why we don't require it.
Well, I mean, is there a reason to test the waters, I guess, Bob? I mean, I would encourage everybody to get a vaccine, but if we require them to do it, then it'd be Andrew's advice we'd have to go by, but.
Okay.
Well, if we were to require it, then we would have to have some sort of policy enforcement in place for those who opted not to do it, in which case, then, given what Andrew has said, we would be in violation of the law. So, I guess at the end of the day, we don't have a legal stand on in trying to force employees to get the vaccination.
And Andy's right. At this point, I'm not recommending to any clients that they enact a rule requiring employees to get vaccinated. We just don't. The law has not caught up to the situation yet in that regard. And so we're working with pre-COVID vaccination laws, which just don't allow that for emergency use vaccines.
So in essence, we cannot make it a condition of employment then.
That would be correct.
That's what the current law says. And even if you don't want to be the test case for that, it would be better off letting the law change or letting someone else go first.
I got it. Okay, I'll take a motion to accept the COVID-19 prevention program as printed.
I'll move to accept.
I'll second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And opposed, say nay. Thank you. Item 3B. Item 3B is something that I asked Andrew to look into. It has to do with establishing a discretionary bonus policy. The policy is before you, and we'll hear any questions or comments from the board. If there are no comments, I'll take a motion to accept. Hello.
Well, I'd just like to hear Andy's opinion, but I guess it's too late for that to ask him. But.
Well, no, we can do it on the question.
Yeah.
But the matter before you is a motion to accept.
Well, my view is I don't see the need for a policy. As long as there's a standing understanding with the general manager that, any compensation matters are the purview of the board.
Okay. Other comments? The matter set aside.
Not going to vote on a motion to accept or deny?
No, there's the motion was called for and none was offered. So the matter is set aside.
Thank you.
Item next in new business correspondence.
So, Bob, let's back up a minute to, this matter. Given Tyler's new responsibilities, I think it's important that he understands that you know, all compensation matters, you know, rest with the board. You know, he as general manager can make recommendations, but final, you know, approval, you know, is required at the board level.
Tyler?
Capish?
Yeah. Yeah, I understand.
Correspondence?
None.
I'm sorry?
There is none.
I didn't have any emails about volunteering to run for the election, the board this year. So
we have not gotten anything either, to be quite honest with you. And we have, what, less than a month left? Or a month left?
Yeah, and I'll check my spam after the meeting. I didn't get anything in my normal mailbox. I'll put that email box. And I haven't got anything through the post office either. So, but I'll send it into the office if I get something. Lee, I'll give it to you.
Perfect.
We posted on Nextdoor. You know, a solicitation.
No,
I don't think so.
Yeah, we might want to cast the net, far and wide on this.
I think we need to do more. Yes.
Just as an aside, if we don't get any applicants,
it means you stay on.
Very funny.
Sorry.
Then the size of the board is reduced accordingly, and functions as normal. Just with fewer people. That's covered very clearly in our bylaws.
Okay.
Item next is monthly billing and invoices and cash flow and water shutoffs and liens. Kathy.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. So we did the billing at the end of February, and so far we've had quite a few people paying. I think I'm up about 100 auto pay users from December's billing. I did have to file 6 liens this past week. They're all the same people. They had liens last year, and now they have liens this year. So we have a total of 17 liens at this point, which total about $107,000 of our past due balance. We did have to up our lien fees from $150 to $225 because the county charges us $90 each time we file a lien. I'm sending out delinquent letters to those who haven't paid their December billing. I think most have paid their October, so we're working on December's billing. As far as the connections go, when we had our January meeting, we had 310 that still needed to connect, and I'm down to 31. So I have about, as far as the 217 shutoff date because of the snow and everything, I had 16 people that still need to connect, and I think I'm down to about 5. So we're real close at getting that shut off. And then the April 6th shut off, I only have 17 left, and 12 of them I'm just not sure where they're at. So we're really close to having all those old lines shut off.
So, Kathy, let me ask you a quick question about the liens. So with the 17 liens that you filed, do we send some correspondence to the respective individuals and require a return receipt?
They get the billing every time the billing goes out. So they get reminders 6 times a year like everybody else that they need to pay their bill. But we don't have any.
We send letters. We send past due letters, not registered.
Should we?
I guess we could. It would, just going by the last shareholder that we sent a registered and certified letter to, he didn't follow the rules. But we definitely can. it doesn't seem like we ever get, well, I didn't know we were late question for someone that we're trying to lien or asking for monies before we lien.
Well, I'm just thinking of, you know, the psychology of a return receipt, you know, moves from passive to an active, you know, acknowledgement. You know, if I'm not required to sign something, I, you know, it's just easy for me to say, okay, fine, screw it. I'm just going to, you know, throw it in the circular file like, you know, I've done for the past, you know, whatever, you know, period of time.
You can also refuse to take a certified letter. That you can refuse at the post office level. Say, I don't want it. So, and very few things come certified that are good.
Has there ever been anybody considered a collection agency, turning them over for collection?
We haven't really needed it. And that's an additional, we did look into it before. And we have looked into it definitely in the past a couple times. The collection agency takes half or thereabouts, just about half. It's not, they don't do very much more than we do as far as garnishing monies, getting people to pay.
So Andrew, is there anything that has changed because of COVID on late payments and stuff? And, the other is, does it have to be a primary residence to, for people not to pay?
So there has been a change due to COVID. The water shutoff tool has been suspended during COVID and is still suspended. So that was one of the tools in the water company's toolbox for getting people to pay was to shut off the water. That has been suspended. So the issue of primary versus secondary, that issue doesn't even come into play because of the blanket moratorium at this point. Primary versus secondary, I believe, comes into play back when we're in a normal state of non-COVID. And the water company has to jump through certain hoops before doing a shut off. But for right now, it doesn't matter.
So the hammer we used to have about shutting the water off if you don't pay is out.
Can we put it on the? Yeah.
All we can do is keep notifying they're in arrears. I mean, I don't.
Liens can be filed. Then they have to. Get the lien taken care of before they can do anything.
They have to pay the lien off.
Right.
Is there any public shaming we can do? I mean, like put it on our website or. I've seen in history.
The newspapers, you get public shaming, yes.
No, if somebody goes bankrupt, they have to put it in the.
Right.
Don't they?
Yes, they do that for property taxes. You're late. Do something or your house will be sold at the courthouse steps.
The church steps. Leave what you had today.
Hey, your biller will send you another nasty letter.
Right.
There's always the stocks at the town square.
There you go.
Yeah.
Kathy, the people that are in arrears of the, we were talking about this the other day, they're the same people over and over, correct?
Yes, correct.
And after you send them the usual threatening letter, they seem to pay the bill and then fall back in arrears again?
Some of them, it takes the lien for them to pay. So
if I fall into arrears and I'm liened, I have to pay the county off before, I have to pay the county, or do they have to pay us before they pay? How does that work? I mean, who gets paid first? The county on the lien? That's collected for us, correct?
No.
We collect on the lien.
They have to come to us and pay us, right? And then we go down to county and file a lien release.
Right. The only time the county goes after anybody and is property taxes. But mortgages, I mean, there's a progression. If someone goes bankrupt or foreclosed, there is a progression of pay. Mortgages first, county second, and subsequent liens after that.
Okay.
In all my years of working there, we've written off one.
Okay, so I'm in arrears and you lien me. And you can't shut my water off. So there's not a lot of incentive for me to do anything.
Unless you want to go buy a car or you want to buy another house or you want to do something that puts you in a contract again with someone else, they look and see how have you been. If there's a lien against you, they're going to be a little more leery in giving you more money.
And Lee, it also comes up if they go to sell the property.
Correct.
Of course. Yes.
But the immediate thing is that they can't borrow money, right? Because their credit.
Right. If they do say it does go on their credit, yes.
Yeah. So that's the hammer. The one hammer, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The shutting off is more immediate, but the lien is fairly, it works also.
Well, it's hard to shut somebody's water off if they get in financial trouble. But
we don't have that a lot up here, only because we're, again, second homes.
But we, in the past, we have shut people's water off.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Before COVID.
The more trouble we have are with the unimproved properties.
Got it.
Yeah, they're investment properties.
Okay.
Well, I mean, if people are getting their stimulus checks, maybe we'll collect some money. It's like, well, I mean, that's what people can do with it.
Yeah.
They pay off some back taxes and stuff. Yeah.
Anything further, Kathy?
No, that's it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
I think the important thing is when we're talking about people that are not paying, it's right around 1% of our customers, correct?
Yeah, it's low.
Yeah.
Unemployment rate's, what, 8 to 10 now, or I don't know.
Well, my guess is that for the people who aren't paying, it's a philosophical issue in their mind that, they don't have anything on the property. They don't have plans to build anything on the property. So why should I be paying any sort of money for water? So I'm just not going to pay the bill.
Sure. What are they going to do to me?
Right.
And we'll figure out.
Lien on my property.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go to sell the property, the $2,000 will just come off the top.
That's exactly what it's happening.
Yeah. No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's your 2000. Yeah, that's true. Item next is 4C, reportable items.
The reportable items, as you can see on the screen in front of you, have all been taken care of. The USDA project is complete. We've discussed the COVID clause, blending water, water shutoffs, and lien fees. Basically, we have no action items except for I will put on there the posting of the call for candidates on Nextdoor and any other avenue that we can think of.
Can you send an email out to our,
we can do constant contact.
Yeah.
We can do, yeah. So we'll pick Nextdoor, constant contact, and that's my two that I can come up with right now.
Any questions or comments on that? Are there any other items to come before the board? Take a motion to adjourn.
Bob, let me interject a question. Do we have any plans to announce Tyler's promotion and the coming change of leadership?
Bubbler's coming out. We could do it there.
The answer is yes, we do.
Yeah, I think we should.
You'll be receiving a memo. It'll come from me or from Lee about the transition, the final transition. And that'll be in. I'm going to guess, Lee. You can check me on this early May.
We could do it now. We could send out, the bubbler is due to be written up, we're reported on. We could let everyone know then that we have hired. We can put it on the website.
Yes.
Is that what you mean, Andy? That we have a new general manager?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that. In fact, we'll use the bumper this time.
Okay. And I will put it on the website too.
Yeah. I'm sure this afternoon we'll get a request for the bubbler. It'll be
due. Yeah, Pam?
Yeah, it'll be due tomorrow.
Yeah.
So you've already got a paragraph, right, to introducing for the bubbler? Or Tyler, do you want to write something about yourself or you put in there? Well, I mean, yeah. Sometimes they like to know where you live. I mean, personal stuff, you don't have to, but sometimes.
Yeah, and I believe even on our normal, on our website, there's a lot of my general information that I gave Lee when I first applied and came here. I can update that and give you a little bit more. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, well,
and I like Dave's intro. We could do that too.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And put your phone number over on there if there's any unhappy customers out there. They only call between,
yours.
Call David.
Only call between midnight and 2 a.m.
Well, if the bubbler's coming out, we can announce that we're looking for candidates for the board, too, right?
That'd be great, yeah.
Good thought.
We'll have to do a press on that. Any other items? Last chance. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming. No. Thank you all for checking in this morning. I appreciate it. Andy, I'm glad you're feeling better.